Good morning and happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I am very, very excited to share with you guys this message that I feel like God has given to me. And it has challenged me as I've studied it to dig deeper. Am I getting this right? All right, Lord, I can do all things through you. And so it's a challenging message, but it's also an inspiring message. And before we get started, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. I'm going to take off my shoes, and I just want to say Moses took off his sandals when he was in front of the burning bush because he was on holy ground, and I may be doing it for multiple purposes, but I am on holy ground, and so I'm taking my shoes off, and I hope none of you are offended by that. So if you want to kneel with me, you are more than welcome to, or you can just bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for this opportunity. God, you still speak, and you speak through broken vessels. God, and I just ask right now that your robe of righteousness covers me, that it's not my words that they hear, but it's your words, God. Let your message be clear and powerful, God, challenging us to draw closer to you. Thank you so much for the gift that Jesus has given us and the words in your Holy Bible that lead us. I pray all of this and ask your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds, God. Amen. All right. I want to start off by saying, is Andrea. I am a sinner, and I am glad to be here today. And I'm glad to be saved. All right. What is the definition of a sinner? I looked this up in the dictionary, and it says a person, let me say this first off, that a sinner, the term is used both outside of the church and inside of the church. Because we see people outside living in the world who maybe have wandered from the Lord, and they say, I'm a sinner. And they don't want to change at all. And so they define themselves as, I'm a sinner. Just leave me alone. And then I hear people in the church saying, I'm a sinner. But the term that they use is a little different. I'm a sinner that's saved by the grace of God. Although what I want to focus on is the definition of what a sinner is. Because should we really be defining ourselves as sinners? Interesting. I know you guys are like, but I am. All right. Here's the definition. It says, they transgress the law of God. Okay, so they're transgressors. All right, so should I be using that to describe myself? The definition that I liked better that was below is it says, a person who sins without repenting. So what is sin? Sin is transgression of the law of God. Sin is lawlessness according to 1 John 3:4. Why then do so many people in the church use this word to describe themselves? Why do I use this word to describe myself? Some of you may be saying, because I am a sinner. Do you realize, Andrea, that I fall short each week? I am a sinner. I do transgress the law of God. Before I worked here in Fallbrook, I was working at a church in Sonora, which is Central California. And at that church, each week, Pastor Nathan Renner would get up front, and I dreaded it every week. Not his sermons. His sermons are amazing, inspired by God. But what he said, I dreaded. And without fail, he would say it each week. He'd get up there, and he would say, good morning, saints. And it would make my skin crawl. I would scream in my mind. I'm a Bible worker at the time. I would scream in my mind, do you understand that I am a sinner? Do you understand the lack of devotion I showed to God this week? Why are you calling me a saint? We're a church full of sinners. So I started to have this question in my mind. Okay, I am a sinner. Why is he calling me a saint then? That's a pretty big name to live up to. But as hard as it may be to call yourself a saint, there are many blessings that come from calling yourself a saint. And some of you guys are like, oh no, where's she going with this? hold on for the ride. What it says is, looking closer, one of the blessings that we get first off is it says in Proverbs 23:7. Does anybody know what it says there? Let's go ahead and turn there in our Bibles. Proverbs 23:7. When you're there, say amen. Okay. Proverbs 23. Oops, I turned to Psalms, but it's okay because I know what it says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is what? So is he. So if I'm calling myself, a sinner, then what am I going to be? I'm going to be a sinner. I'm not going to live above it because that's who I am. We start making excuses for our sins by saying, I'm a sinner. There's nothing that I can do about it. I'm sorry. I'm always going to fall short in this area. I mean, I know that God, some kind of, his grace covers all. All right, let's not do cheap grace. God calls us to a standard. He calls us to be saints. So the first point that I want to bring up, the blessing that comes from rather than calling yourself a sinner, calling yourself a saint instead, the first thing that comes up is, as you think, so you are. Start thinking you're a saint through the blood of Jesus. All right, second point, God is coming back for a group of saints. He's coming back for a group that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So you may want to be okay with that name because it's the people that he's coming back for. The third point and last reason I'm going to bring up this morning is God has called us to be saints, to be sacred, pure, holy, blameless. That's intense because we fall short all the time, right? But he calls us to that. Call yourself saints. Even Paul says, I am one of the lesser saints. Saint nonetheless. And here's the problem that I have. We are calling God a liar when we say I cannot achieve that. Because I don't remember that being in the Word of God. I remember it saying in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things. Not some things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can achieve what? Anything. Quit telling yourselves that you will never conquer that sin. Quit telling yourselves that I will never be different than who I am. I am a sinner. No, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not. All right, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't get me wrong. Going from saint to sinner is no easy process. It's a struggle. It is maybe one of the biggest struggles you will ever face in your whole entire life. There's a story found in the book of Genesis of two twin brothers. The setting is a home, a Christian home, where God is exalted and presented. But it is dysfunctional nonetheless. And let me tell you how it's dysfunctional. Dysfunction shows its way in favoritism this time in the home of Isaac and Rebekah. Because Isaac favors his son Esau, because he's more of the outdoorsy, rough kind of man. And Rebekah favors her son, Jacob, who's gentle and just soothes her more. And the thing about this is they did not hesitate, neither of these parents hesitated to show their favoritism. A Christian home, but with dysfunction nonetheless. So we continue on. Isaac was second to be born. And as Esau's coming out, he's the first one. Jacob's like clinging to the heel of his brother's foot. He is not content where God places him from the beginning. That's what I get out of that. So his name ends up being Jacob, the grabber. Always trying to go rather than stay in the place where God has called him to be. So he beguiles his brother, gets his brother's birthright wickedly. Then he deceives his own father on his deathbed into getting his dying blessing. This guy is the deceiver of all deceivers. What is going on? So what does he do? He has to run for his life now because his brother Esau finds out. And so he flees to his uncle Laban's house. And he goes to his uncle's home, and there he gets a taste of his own medicine, doesn't he? Because we reap what we sow. And so he has this experience. He goes to his uncle's house, and he has his eye on a pretty lady. And he goes, oh, Rachel, I want to marry her. But he doesn't have any money because he fled with nothing. And so, what happens now is he says, I'll work 7 years for her. And he works 7 years, and the Bible says sweet things like it was just a moment in his eyes, you know, working all this labor. He loved her so much. So he works, and then on the day of the wedding, he is tricked. He's beguiled by his uncle Laban. And what happens is his uncle ends up giving him Leah rather than Rachel. So then he says, all right, I'll work another 7 years to get the woman I really wanted. So he works another seven. And all of his transactions with his uncle are never really positive. And you can read that in the book of Genesis and get more of that experience. So he does this, and finally he decides to leave. He's always good at running. Ran from his home many years ago. Now he's running again. From his uncle, his father-in-law. This deceiver is now running once again. And so he goes to the land that he left so long ago. So long ago. And he knows that a grudge can be held for a very long time. And so as he starts to get closer, Esau finds out, and he's coming with soldiers. This isn't a peaceful, hello, brother, kind of thing. Jacob goes and starts sending gifts to his brother, kind of to steady the waters a little bit. Like, here's some things. I'm your servant, Jacob. But he doesn't fully trust his gifts. So he decides, you know, I don't want all of my family to be killed if he decides not to forgive me. So he splits up his family, and some go over here and some go over there, and he is left alone. And while he is left alone, an angel comes. God himself comes. And Jacob starts struggling with this angel. And he clings on to him in desperation and says, I will not let go unless you bless me. God touched his life that day and changed it. What I want to concentrate on, spend some time on this morning, I need water, is the struggle. Why? Although we can focus on the fact that saints are blessed by God, that's true, the part that I want to focus on is the struggle, because I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to venture to guess that at one time or another, each of us have struggled. And the thing is, the powerful point is that Jacob overcame who he was. And that's what I want to focus on. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to this story in Genesis chapter 32. When you're there, give me a hearty amen. All right, a little weak, but we'll work on it. All right, so jumping to verse 22, it talks about wrestling with God. Let's go ahead and read this. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for day breaks." But he said, his clinging in desperation, he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob said, saying, "Tell me, what is your name, I pray?" And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." After Jacob's struggle, what did he get? He got blessed. He got a new name. He got a new name that night. Struggling. He got a new name after his struggle. We are the spiritual Israel, aren't we? So can't we learn some lessons from the experience that Jacob had? We can learn tons of lessons. So I want to spend some time, some things that jumped out to me as I was reading this and saying, wow, we need to apply this. We will be able to be overcomers if we apply these lessons. That's found right in the Word of God. So let's look at these lessons. The first one is in verse 27. He said to him, "What is your name?" Question. If this is God wrestling with him, like the Word of God says it is, wouldn't he already know his name? I mean, it makes sense. Like, God knows how many hairs are on your head, so wouldn't he know his name? Why is he asking then? What point is he trying to make? It's the same question his father asked him so many long years ago on his deathbed. "What is your name, son?" What did he say? "Esau. My name is Esau." He deceived his father. So he lied last time he was asked his name by his father, and now he's being asked by his heavenly father. And he has the chance to be honest, to finally be honest. And is he? He is. Here's the thing. It's time for us to be honest. Maybe some of us, for the first time, he had to recognize who he was before he was able to overcome. Here's the point. Many of us try to shove our sins in the closet. "I did that so long ago, and I don't want to bring it out. I don't want to deal with it." I think when I say, how many of you wandered away from God at one time or another, many of you would be able to say, "Yes, I have." And many of you have memories of those times where you wandered. When we are in the world, we get beaten up, scarred, bruised, and injured. But so many of us want to put a Band-Aid on it rather than letting God do surgery on it, admitting, yes, Lord, I did mess up. I did fall short. God wants us to realize, to recognize who we are, that we are sinners before we can come to the understanding that he wants to make us saints. He wants us to recognize our past. Please, if you think you are holier than thou, take a look in the mirror. If you see that you're sinners, stop diddle-daddling around in your sin then. And let God make you a saint. The second thing that makes me stop and think is a little lower, or actually above. It says, "Now he saw that he did not prevail against him. He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Hold on. He wrestled? He wrestled with God. He fought with God, and God is saying he's not prevailing? And he touches his hip and puts it out of place. Couldn't he just, in an instant, kill him? Couldn't he, if that was his purpose? So what is he trying to teach him through this? What is he trying to teach us through this? Why did he let him struggle? Why did he let him prevail? Because he wants a group of people that may struggle but prevail. I want to bring up the point that he clung to him. He clung to him. He realized at that point, I am nothing without you. Didn't he already gain the blessing from his father? Wasn't that enough? He got what he wanted through being a deceiver. Why then was he still not satisfied? Why then was he clinging to this, I picture it on a leg, but I mean it could be any part, clinging to this angel saying, bless me, because his ways did not satisfy him. His ways were not enough. And we need to get to the point that we cling to God. We realize that our ways are not the right ways, that only his ways will satisfy. There's a quote that I want to read to you. It says, "As the evidence of his triumph and encouragement to others to imitate his example, his name was changed from one which was a reminder of his sin to one that commemorated his victory." Let me read that again. His name was changed from one which was a reminder of his sin to one that commemorated his victory. Great Controversy, page 617. Do you realize that? He didn't cling to his old name. He didn't say, wait, I'll still be Jacob and I'll just be different. No, he got a new name. He accepted the new name that God gave him, Overcomer, Israel. As Jacob the deceiver became Israel the overcomer, so we can be changed from sinners into saints. Turn our eyes from who we were to who we are in Christ. Stop concentrating on what I've done and what Christ has done for me. That's what we need to do. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. This is a beautiful book. I love it. Revelation chapter 12. As I've read the book of Revelation, God has opened, amazing doors. Just seeing the connections, how the Bible fits perfectly together. As we read Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 11. And they what? They overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Let's break that open for a second. And they overcame him. Who is him? Who is this talking about? Well, we look at the context, and it's talking about Satan. Yes, the dragon. Satan, that serpent of old. The devil or Satan who was cast out of heaven, and the angels right along with him. His angels. They overcame Satan. Do you think that means they overcame Satan's temptations also? Yes. They overcame every part of it. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. If you go up to verse 9 with me, it says, so the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What does he do? He deceives. What did Jacob do? He deceived. He was a deceiver. He was being formed into the image that the devil wanted to make for him. God also does something for us. We get a new name. Look, so Satan's name is deceiver. He's a deceiver. And Jacob was a deceiver. And then we jump down to verse 11, and it says, now, if we follow Christ, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. We are made overcomers. We are Israel's. God wants to do that for each and every one of us. And the part about they did not love their lives unto the death, I didn't understand this verse at first. Although, what is it even saying? They did not love their lives too much that they would not die for Christ. They realized that there was something more. They realized that there was eternal. They come to that realization, and they move forward. Please take this message to heart. Please stop calling yourselves sinners and saying you will never rise above what Satan puts on you. Please stop it, because we, by the blood of Jesus, his robe covers all of my sins. And I am a saint. I am a saint, and it is hard. This is what I mean by the struggle, because I'm thinking and I'm putting this together, and I almost want to cry. Have any of you almost wanted to cry? I am not a saint. Do you realize that? I'm not a saint. But God says, you are through my blood. You are through my blood. You are through my eyes. If you confess your sins. We're going to go ahead and sing the closing hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Isn't it a good idea to trust in Jesus? So let's go ahead and sing this. Oops, I was going to put down the mic, but I'm not ready. When he says you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, doesn't it say that? In the Bible, what we just read, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, then you can overcome by Christ's blood. when he says no temptation has seized you except such as is common to man, and he is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, then he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to overcome. He will provide a way out. He will. When it says, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins when you confess them, then he will forgive you. Like his word says, 'tis so sweet to trust the word of God. Family, stop calling God a liar by saying that you cannot overcome, for we are overcomers. So Pastor Nathan was correct to call us saints every morning, to go up front and say, good morning, saints. Because he was reminding us of what I am in Christ. And I keep my eyes on the prize. So now, I started out this sermon by saying, hi, hello, my name is Andrea. I am a sinner. I am glad to be here in church today, and I am glad to be saved. But now, I cling to God's promises, like Jacob clung to the angel, and I now say, hello, my name is Andrea. I am a saint, and I am glad to be here in church today, and I am glad to be saved. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you put me in awe. Your love for us, your forgiveness, your power, God, you want us to all be overcomers. And I ask for those of us who struggle with this today, God, you would make the message more clear in our minds. God, how much we can overcome with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we can be empowered by you. And I just invite your Holy Spirit to be with us the rest of this Sabbath day, Lord. Let us be overcomers. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen.